thank you for tuning in to the Covenant Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the teaching and preaching of God's Word. The Covenant Podcast is a ministry of Covenant Baptist Church located in Indianapolis, Indiana. And now, here is today's speaker.
We ask you then to turn with us once again to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 today will be where our scripture will be taken from. Originally, as God worked these verses in my mind and in my heart, as I meditated and prayed over what He would have me to bring today, as is often the case, I bit off more than turned out I could chew, and originally we were going to look at the first 11 verses today, but we feel it necessary to only deal with the first four. Verses 5 through 11 are one of the most beautiful pictures of the humility of Christ, His example and His pattern for us. And yet in these first four verses, Paul speaks, he speaks about the Christian life, he speaks about the church, and I pray this morning that you are ready to hear what he has to say, because I believe that if we look at these verses correctly, as I believe that if we look at any verse of Scripture correctly, I believe it will challenge and change our hearts about things. The Christian life is nothing if it is not an ever-pressing forward for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, as Paul spoke about. It is an ever-pressing forward. Whether we are newly saved and a young child, or we've been saved for 70-plus years and at the end of life's experience and at the end of the day of our life, it is an ever-pressing forward. There's always sin to be dealt with in our lives, isn't there? There's always maybe a besetting sin that maybe through God's help and our desire above all other things to conquer it, it rears its ugly head again. Maybe it's a pressing forward in humility. It's a pressing forward in a knowledge of God's Word. It's a pressing forward in a maturing of a Christian mindset and view of the world, because I'm telling you this today. I want you to understand, and I want us all to understand, that the world lies to us. This world lies to us. It tells us that things are permanent that are not permanent. It tells us that our lives will find meaning in things in which they will not find meaning in. It tells us that money is the solution to all of our problems. It tells us that health will always be ours, that vitality and that strength will always be ours. As young people, we think old age and death is so far away when it could be right at the doorstep. The world lies to us because the God of this world is the father of lies. Satan's been lying from the beginning, and he's lying today, and he's lying to you, and he's lying to me, and he lies, and it's what he does. But his lies are so very convincing to us because they sound sweet to the flesh. They sound comforting to the flesh. They sound as though they give us great confidence when it is nothing but to build our lives upon sand, or build our lives upon the lies that are sand, and our lives then crumble and they fall if we believe them. And I believe again these first four verses of Philippians, just like every other word of Scripture, has power in it to convince and to change us into more of what God would have us to be. And I would just ask you today, is that in your heart? Is that in your heart to want to be more of what God would have you to be? If that is the case, then these first four verses of Philippians will give you the balm and the medicine that you need. Let's read Philippians chapter 2. And again, we know Paul did not stop his writing and say, I am now beginning in chapter 2. We know that it all has come from what he is saying here, has come from the previous chapter. And last week we spoke on the final verses of chapter 1. And Paul goes on from there and says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. There is more here than we could possibly deal with in one setting, but it is indeed the place where God has directed our thoughts, and we pray that His Word would go into your heart and into your mind, and that whatever God wants to say to you today, that you will hear, and you will listen, and you will obey, and you will trust. The world, as we have said, is in a state as it has been since the fall, in a place where it does not often know the truth from that which is not true. We live in a time that is very dangerous for us as Christians. And I believe, and I am no prophet, but I believe that it is going to become yet more dangerous to be a child of God, to be a Christian, to claim to be a follower of Christ. It is so difficult for us to understand the great exception that the last couple to 200 or 300 years has been in the history of the church. It is so difficult for you and me. And this is not an insult. This is not said to chastise. I think it's just true. It's so hard for us to understand the great danger that people place themselves in their lives and their families and their children, their jobs, their livelihoods, simply by saying that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. It's not been something you and I have had to struggle with very much. And yet at the same time, I believe that Satan has been working for quite some time now in our country, in the world that we live in our nation. He's been working for some time to alter our understanding of the Word of God and what it means to be a Christian. He has been working to change the very way that we think, the very way that we interpret our lives. And if I can describe it, and I hope that using this term does not make you turn your minds and your hearts off to what is going to be said throughout this time, but it needs to be labeled. It's not a surprise. It's not something unknown to you, I don't think, but it is this whole idea of humanism. Humanism has so infiltrated our world and our thoughts that we don't even recognize how much it has influenced us. Humanism, the idea that life is about us, that life is about what we desire, what we want, what we need, it has so influenced us that we even read the Scripture through a humanistic lens at times. We have begun to think in terms like this: what is God going to do for me? What is God going to do for my work and my wealth and my prosperity? What is God going to do for my marriage? What is God going to do for my education, for my church, for me? And make no mistake, God has a desire to do things for His children. He loves His children. Jesus taught us that there is no father who would not give His children what they need. And He talked about how much greater God our Father is. And there is indeed a desire in God's heart to do things for us as His children. But the greater context of the Scripture, of what God has said, is it's not merely about what I want to do for you, it is what I have called from you to give. It's not about what God wants to do for me as much as what God has called and required from me. But we read and we look at Scripture and we think about serving God and we think about it in terms of a humanistic view that God somehow, it's all about us as His creation rather than what the Scripture says, that all things are by and for Christ. Your life is for Christ. This is a dangerous thing. This is not a small problem. This is a massive problem. Problem for us to deal with. When we begin to read Scripture with the idea that it is, I am going to read this book and find out what God is going to do for me, rather than when we come away from it thinking, what has God called from me? You see, you owe your life to God. You owe absolutely everything that you have to God. There is nothing that you have that has not been given and granted to you by God. Absolutely nothing. Your strength, your intelligence, your money, your power, your job, your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, none of it. Your mother, your father, they've been given to you. Given to you. And God calls upon you then to return to Him your life. He calls upon you to submit yourself to Him, first in repentance for sin and faith in Jesus Christ in salvation, and then He calls upon us to give Him our life. It's not about what God wants from or for you as much as it is about what God has called from you and is called to you to give. But in a humanistic society that has infiltrated the very fabric of the way we think, it's very difficult at times for us to work our way through a Scripture like this, like these first four verses in Philippians, and come away with a right understanding of what God is trying to say. Because what we're listening for is, what is God going to do for me? And we're not listening for what God has called from me. We're turning that away. Too much of the time, we're thinking in terms of our own selfish motivations and our own selfish thoughts. And Paul is trying to remove that from the understanding and the awareness of the Philippian church, saying that it must not be a part of our thought process or our understanding, but he's called upon us to realize that this world was made for God. And this world one day will be destroyed, and forever we will either be in heaven or hell, depending on whether we gave to God what He has called upon us to give, our repentance and our faith. This is not an easy thing to think about in our day and age. We're so taught, we are so bombarded with the idea that our life is to be lived in such a way that gains the most comfort for ourselves and the most pleasure for ourselves and the most satisfaction for ourselves, when we are supposed to be pouring out our lives for the cause of Christ, because God has reserved for those who know Him and love Him an eternal rest Do you see that? There's an eternal rest that you and I that know the Lord are going to. And there's only this brief little thing called time that we're given to pour out our hearts and our lives and sacrifice for Him. And make this not merely about what God wants to do for me, but what God wants from me. I'll tell you, if you're living your life looking for God simply to do things for you, and not coming to terms with the reality of what God wants from you, you are not really living a biblical Christian life. Again, God absolutely does things for His children. But Paul is speaking here of something much greater than that. What He has called us to give to Him. Not easy to hear, not easy to think about, and preaching, as I heard this last week, it ought to not be a goal of preaching merely to soothe or to comfort our conscience. Preaching ought to be such that it awakens our conscience. Awakens it out of the slumber and awakens us out of the sleep and the apathy that the world simply by being what it is, places upon our hearts and our lives. It's the authentic Christian life is what Paul is talking about here. The authentic Christian life. And he talks about it in terms of its blessings, and he talks about it in terms of its requirements. And he gives four blessings here that are identified specifically. And he then talks about four requirements to understand and to gain and to enjoy those blessings. And just these four verses, in fact, in just one phrase of this scripture that we're going to talk about, we would have enough in order to, we could just simply read it and make sure we understood it, and we would have enough for the rest of our lives to work on and to be busy with and to engage with and to work on for the rest of our lives.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to today's program. Please visit us at www.covenantmbc.com to access our podcast archive and learn more about the ministry of Covenant Baptist Church. Visit us on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/covenantinindy.